Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning, and we trust that this morning we could be a blessing and an encouragement, and even ask the Lord this morning to challenge each and every one of us, and from that challenge, bring a change upon our lives, and from that change, bring favorable attention upon our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He certainly is worthy of that, and I think those who are listening this morning, all of us would say in harmony, Lord, even so, use my life to bring favorable attention upon you and upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a moment. Ask the Lord to help us as we spend these next few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We do ask you that you'd help us. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know exactly what it is we need. Lord, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different backgrounds. All of us are in all kinds of different places in our spiritual walk. You know every one of us better than we know ourselves. Lord, help us today. May you take, Father, your written word. May you use it in our hearts as needed in us as individuals. Like only you can do, Lord, you can take one verse and apply it to multiple lives, and all of us can get exactly what we need. And we pray this morning that's what you do, that you honor yourself, Father, through our lives and bring honor and glory to you and to your Son. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, have been for some time, looking for biblical principles for practical living. You know, as we as Christians, we live in a day and age that's changing. And you can almost hear people say, boy, isn't that so? It is changing. I think the older we are, the more this change we can see. I remember when I was a young person, I remember hearing the older folks, perhaps they'd be over at my parents' house, and they would be having their conversations, and I would listen, and it was hard for me to relate to what really they were talking about, because I had not lived back in their early days, so I had no reference point to draw a connection to be able to fully understand. And I'm sure today, anyone who's listening that's younger, you can understand somewhat, but not in the degree that those who are older, the way we see life's changing, the society is changing ever so rapidly, and unfortunately, it's not headed in the right direction. And if there's ever a time where we as Christians need to have biblical principles, we need to know them, and more importantly, we need to live by them. It's the day in which we live. You know, so many people around society today, we're living by our emotions. People are just saying what they feel like saying. They're doing what they feel like doing. They're reacting how they feel like reacting. And seemingly there's so few that have chosen to live by principles, by the dictates of God's word, by the parameter that he has set. And so we as Christians, as we tune into radio, Christian radio this morning, I trust that, and I would assume that your heart's desire is to live a life that's pleasing and that brings favorable attention upon your Lord and your Savior. And I commend you for that. And I do pray with you that God will give you great success in doing that in your home, in your family, in your community, in your church. So as we're looking for these principles, I pray that God would help us this morning just to take a nugget of truth, something that often is perhaps pretty simple, and make it profound to us. Sometimes we miss the profundity, so we miss the significance of something because it's so simple. And we have the tendency, well, that's too simple. There's really nothing, there's no great truth there. There's no life-changing element there. But in reality, life is often changed by the small truth. We call them small truths, but they're huge truths, but they're so simplistic, we overlook them sometimes. And that's what we want to do as we're looking through the book of Proverbs, looking for biblical principles for practical living, truths that change our lives and help God change others' lives through us. Proverbs 24, verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. That's an interesting verse. Be not thou envious against evil men. I always find it interesting what God tells us not to do, what he warns us against. And I often find myself thinking, well, the reason God warns us or tells us not to do something is because he knows we have the tendency to do that. That we use the word propensity, that as the twig is bent, so is the tree inclined. We have that inclination towards something. God knows we human beings have the inclination or the propensity, the leaning towards envy. We see somebody has a new car. We want a new car. We hear somebody, they got a new job and a good pay raise, and we say, well, I want a new job. I want a new pay raise. We see somebody has a brand new toy of some sort. Well, I want another one. I worked hard like they do, and we envy. We are envious people sometimes, and in our flesh, boy, do we envy. We often find ourselves the sin of ingratitude, not being thankful for what we have, always wanting something bigger, newer, shinier. Boy, it's so descriptive of humanity, is it not? No wonder God says, be not thou envious, because he knows we have the tendency to be envious, very much so. Even after we get saved, we struggle with it from time to time, I'm sure. But in this particular case, it says, be not thou envious against evil men. Our Bible teaches us, you know, the shelf life of a wicked man is pretty short. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way, but it really is. The way of a transgressor is hard, the Bible says. We often forget that. We look at the world, and sometimes we are the allure of what the world is getting by with, as the world thinks. It sometimes causes us to envy, like, well, I wish I didn't have all the troubles I had. I try to go to church, read my Bible, give my tithes, and share with people that are in need, and I try all these things, and man, life is so hard. It's so hard. And then I look at Hollywood and look at the world, and boy, these people are not doing these things, and man, they're driving new cars, and they're going on vacations, and I just don't understand it. And we get envious. Boy, we get a little upset. We need to be reminded that the shelf life of a wicked man is short. It doesn't take long before that facade begins to wear away and fall apart. You know, things are not always what they appear to be. They are not always what they appear to be. I can hardly make that statement without remembering an account that my father shared with me many years ago. He had been pastoring a small church out in a community, in a country setting, and he went into town to make a visit at the hospital, and he was running, his time schedule was a little tight, so he pulled into an area where he should not have parked, but he parked anyway. Went inside, made the visit, and came outside. When he came outside, he noticed there was a ticket on his windshield, and as he approached the car, he saw that, he assumed it was a ticket, and boy, he got upset, he was frustrated. He said he was even so frustrated, he didn't even take time to take the ticket out from underneath the windshield wiper. He just got in the car, and he was grumbling to himself and grumbling to the Lord, he said. And before he got off of the campus there of the hospital, he decided, well, he better go ahead and stop and get the ticket before it blows off. So he stops, and he looks at the piece of paper, and it says simply this: in the future, please refrain from parking in this area. You know, and he told me, he said, son, I learned a very great lesson. Things are not always what they appear to be. I thought, my dad said, I'd got a ticket, and I was upset. He said, in reality, it wasn't a ticket at all, but I had concluded it was, and I responded according to my assumptions. Is it not what we do? We look at the world, we look at the envy, we envy the evil man, we look at their lives, and we say, you know what? Boy, it must be nice. But, you know, it's not what it appears to be. The way of a transgressor is hard. No wonder God says we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. Why does he tell us that? Because, again, he knows that we have the tendency to do just that, comparing ourselves among ourselves. He has a nice car, but I don't. He has a good job, but I don't. He has, you know, great success in that area, and I don't. And we get comparing ourselves among ourselves, and we do foolishly when we do so. And so God says, here's a biblical principle. Don't fly by the seat of your britches here. Live by principle. Don't envy evil men. Neither desire to be with him. Why? Because things are not what they always appear to be, and the shelf life of a wicked person is very short. If you were to get what you thought you needed to get out of that life, you would find out shortly that it wasn't worth getting, and you would have buyer's remorse quicker than supposedly that you think you would. And so may God give us wisdom. Let's drop down to verse 3 and 4. The Bible said, here's another principle. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here's an interesting principle. The Bible says, through wisdom is a house builded, and then it says understanding, and then mentions knowledge. Basically, three things God's mentioning here. The house, can be seen as the whole of life, if you would, a man's life or a woman's life, not just their home, not the building itself, but the very life, the very essence of who you are. There's three ingredients you need. You need knowledge, you need understanding, and you need wisdom. Now, when we look at the definitions of these three words, knowledge is basically, it says, it's interesting, it says, look up the word knowledge, what's it mean? It means knowledge. But it has the idea of truth. It has an idea of information, if you would. And then you go on down to understanding. Understanding, the definition is intelligence. It is discretion, reason, understanding, if you would. And then we go down to wisdom, and wisdom is, one of my favorite definitions of wisdom is skill in living. Other words are skillful living. So building a home or building a life, well, it's going to take knowledge, which is information and truth. And then we need an understanding of the knowledge that we have. And that's the ability to assemble the information. So we have the knowledge, we have the knowledge first, we have the understanding, which is the ability to assemble the information that we have, and then the wisdom or the skill to put it all together to make it work. Therefore, because of this, we need to make sure that somewhere in our life, somewhere in our schedules, we are looking to gain in knowledge, in understanding, and wisdom. We need to have information and truth. We need to have knowledge or the ability to take that information and truth and to assemble it correctly, put it together correctly. And then we need the wisdom or the skill to put it all together and to make it work. And everybody's life needs all of these. I wonder this morning, where are we on the register of knowledge or understanding or wisdom? You know, most of us could probably use a good dose of all of these and a whole lot more of it. I know I could. I need more knowledge. I need more truth. I need more information. But I also need the ability to assemble that information in a correct pattern, a correct form, that it's just not a hodgepodge here and there without the ability to really comprehend what it is. I need understanding. And then I also need the skill to take this truth, this information, after I've assembled it in the right proportion, in the right places, and I need the skill to put it into practice, put it together, make it work. If I want to have a good marriage, just my home, my life, my marriage, I need the truth about marriage. I need the truth that God, information about a man and a woman, and about relationships, and about sharing, about forgiveness. I need understanding. How do I put all that together? How do I make sense of it? And then I need the skill to actually forgive. I need the skill in actually turning the other cheek. I need the skill or the wherewithal to put all this together and make it work. If I'm going to have my life what it ought to be, through wisdom is a house built it and understanding. It's talking about a life, not a building, but a life. Your life and my life. We need wisdom, we need knowledge, we need understanding, and we need wisdom. And by the way, these things are not something that we sort of inadvertently bump into throughout life. These things are things that are sought for diligently. These are the things that are searched for, that are worked for to attain. And as we seek them and we make the effort to gain these things and assimilate them and put them together, then our life will reflect that. But you know, sometimes I think we're guilty of playing life's lottery. Well, we'll just see. Maybe I'll be in the right lane here and I'll get some knowledge. Well, you never know. I might just luck out and get some understanding. Who knows? I just might have be at the right place at the right time and I might get me some wisdom and know what to do with it. No, it's not the lottery we're playing. It's life, and it must be lived by diligence, by effort, by purpose. And so that's what we're looking at, biblical principles, purposed living. And so these are two quick principles that, you know, we would all be well advised to consider. Don't be envious of the evil men. The shelf life is pretty short. And then make sure we're looking purposefully, diligently, with great effort to find knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and to be able to assimilate these things and put them together. Just two simple principles. They're not very common, but they're close by. They're in the book of Proverbs, and God's given these to us, and we would be well advised, very much well advised, to take heed and to put these two principles into practice in our living. I thank you for listening today, and you have a great day.